In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. If you were listening to that gospel as it was read and you didn't already know, now you have some sense of where the 40 days of Lent come from, 40 days and some Sundays from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday morning. We hear Jesus heads to the desert where he is tempted by Satan and attended by angels while he keeps company with wild animals. Mark's gospel gives us a short two sentences while other gospels, other evangelists make more of this story. And many of us upwardly mobile American Christians read this story as evidence for a solitary at best, or a disconnected from others at worst, approach to our Christian practice and our religious and spiritual faith. Well, Jesus was alone in the desert, we say to ourselves. Faith is a private thing, we say. And I would argue and argue and argue and argue that that is a misinterpretation of what's happening in this story. The interlude in the wilderness with Jesus and Satan and angels and wild animals is simply something that happens after Jesus is publicly confirmed as dear, beloved, chosen, a child of God, and before he begins the work of building a team of students, of friends, of partners who will see him through to the end of his mission. Jesus is always connected to a posse, even when he practices solitude, which he does from time to time over the course of his three-year mission. In this story we have, in this faith we have, in this church we have, more y'all than you, more we than me. That's so important for us to remember. It may be the second most important thing we can remember as people connected to God. From our reading in Genesis this morning, we have a portion of the Noah story. We have that part of the story where God makes this extraordinary commitment to remain connected to creation and her creatures. From 1 Peter, we hear the work that Jesus does in life and in his death is done for the sake of the whole, not separated and certain parts, for the whole. We hear the psalmist sing, "Make your ways known to me, O Lord. Show me your path." The psalmist is singing a song of connection to God. There is more y'all than you, more we than me in our work as Christian people. That's the second most important thing we can remember as people connected to God. As we approach Lent in the church, if we grew up in the liturgical church like the Episcopal Church or the Roman Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or some Methodist churches, if you grew up in a liturgical church, as Lent approached, someone likely dressed like me asked you the question, what are you giving up for Lent? Or what are you doing for Lent? There's been some pressure to take something on or to give something up in your life as an act of reverence or special devotion. Usually, almost always, though we may not have communicated it in this way, our devotion, our discipline during the season of Lent is private. It's personal. It's something we do or we have done by ourselves. We've had this approach, and yet the stories that we have that mark the beginning of this season of fasting and special devotion, the stories we have attached to the beginning of this season always make their declarations, their warnings in the second person plural. It's always y'all and never you. We are bound up in this work together, whether that makes things harder or easier. It's just the way things are. It's just the way God rolls. So what if we mindfully directed our attention to this reality over the course of the next 40 days and some Sundays? I suspect some of you have already given up chocolate chip cookies, or maybe you've taken on some early morning reading. You've decided you wouldn't miss a day of prayer during this season of Lent, or maybe you'd ski at least a couple days a week. You can still do that. I want you to. Can still do any or all of those things you committed to last Wednesday or last Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. But what if we undertook something together intentionally? No doubt it'll be hard, no doubt, but I think we're up for it, and I'm going to make a suggestion. We have at our fingertips some remarkable tools in our church for the building of connection one to another. It may be counter the culture right here, right now in America to do things together, but that has never stopped any of us who live in this place doing things counter the culture. I suspect skiing 100 days is counter the culture, but that has not stopped a number of you. One of the best tools that we have is right behind me here. It's plain in this season. It is not too dressed up. Some people call it an altar. I'm calling it a table. As we come together for your Eucharist each week in this place using the formulas of the Episcopal Church, as we kneel in devotion at the rail, we can sometimes find ourselves distanced from what Jesus was asking us to do in remembrance of him. There's the sharing of the meal for sure, but there's the sharing of the heart that is represented in the sharing of the meal. Around the table is where you becomes y'all, where me becomes we. So I'm going to challenge you, y'all. I'm going to do it with another old story. It was one from my childhood, and maybe you remember it from your own childhood. Do you remember the old Russian folktale stone soup? Yes, some of you. Quick refresher for those who don't remember or don't know the story. Three Russian soldiers are returning from war, and they are tired and hungry and traumatized by the effects of war. As they approach a village, when they see this town that they're walking toward, they become hopeful that there might be food for their stomachs and a place for them to rest and a place for them to heal. The villagers see the approaching soldiers and they become concerned. I suppose they were thinking more me than we. They begin to hide their vegetables and grain so that they might keep more for themselves. And when the soldiers ask for a meal and a place to rest, the villagers assume that the soldiers are there to take what they want and to leave. The villagers assure them that they have nothing to share or spare. The soldiers then produce a stone, claiming the stone's ability to make stone soup. There is a cauldron that is set to boil in the middle of town, and before long, the villagers find themselves adding vegetables and meat and grain to the cauldron in order to enhance the mysterious power of the stone. Not long after, the villagers and the soldiers together share a meal and share their lives with one another. The tale is powerful, creative, and it's also Eucharistic. Now, for the last couple of weeks, if you've been around this place, I've been promising you a gift this morning. Something to help you start this season off right, or maybe I should say, I promised y'all a gift. In a moment, you'll receive one of these. They're here under the cloth for waiting for the big reveal. And this is it, people. This is as big as the reveal gets. Inside this burlap bag, you will find a stone. I suspect your stone will look familiar, like one of the millions that line the bottoms and banks of the living waters that flow through this valley. You have rode over these stones. You have played across them on the banks of our rivers. You have caught fish around them. A few of you have been baptized in the living water that has shaped them and carried them from place to place in our beautiful home. Here's what I can tell you about your particular stone, each stone in each bag. I can tell you that every stone in every bag has been cleaned and oiled and prayed for by the staff of your church. I can tell you that the staff of this church put your stone in a bag along with a wooden spoon, so that you might have a tool for you, for your family. That spoon and that stone might become a tool for your deeper connection to people of this place, people of St. John's Episcopal Church and people of Jackson, Wyoming. And now, in a moment, you will have a toolkit for your own home, a mysterious stone that can brew a mysterious soup when used with whatever spices and vegetables and meat and grain you decide to add, or you decide to invite others to add, wherever you might make your soup. I am asking you to use your stone to tap in to its power to connect us one to another, its power to make you a y'all, to make me a we. Over the course of the next 40 days, you will have seven different opportunities to come back to this place or to go elsewhere to share a meal with others, to build connections that are so central to the practice of our faith. My hope is that as we welcome Easter in the days that are sure to come, my hope is that we have an abiding, deep, lasting understanding that in our stories, in our faith, in our church, there is more y'all than you, more we than me. That we have some sense of how important that is. That we know to our bones that that is the second most important thing we can remember as people of faith. And I hope that we remember the most important thing too. That you, that y'all, that we are beloved by God. Amen.